And this is what's happening in your world tonight.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy sports news update. Three teams in the mix for a possible deal for Seahawks star defender Frank Clark. The New York Jets, Indianapolis Colts, and Kansas City Chiefs are among the teams that have discussed a potential trade with the Seahawks. Seattle's believed to be opening to trading the pass-rushing threat ahead of Thursday's NFL draft, and they're seeking a first-rounder in compensation for Clark. He notched a career-high 13 sacks last season, but his contract demands might be a little bit too pricey for Seattle. The 25-year-old is yet to sign his $17.1 million franchise tag as he pursues a long-term deal. The Buffalo Bills have inked running back T.J. Yeldon to a two-year deal. Yeldon coming off a 104-carry season, which he totaled just 404 yards and one touchdown on the ground. Buffalo now with a crowded backfield of LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, and Yeldon. Peyton Manning has declined an opportunity to join ESPN's Monday Night Broadcast crew. The 43-year-old has been a hot commodity among broadcasting outlets since he's retired, but yet he hasn't bitten on any offers. He's doing a lot of commercials, though, and raking in the cake. Jury selection begins for the second trial in the NCAA hoop bribery scandal today in Manhattan. The trial of business manager Christian Dawkins and ex-amateur league director Merle Code began today in court. Testimony in the trial surrounds bribes paid to assistants and some coaches involved at these schools: South Carolina, Oklahoma State, Arizona, and USC. These now ex-coaches have pleaded guilty and are awaiting sentence, and Dawkins and Code have pleaded not guilty to all charges. We have a pair of games in the NBA tonight. Things get going at 8 o'clock with the Detroit Pistons hosting the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks laying 12.5 points on the road, total 221. Milwaukee dominating this series big time, 3-0, and they're looking for an easy four-game sweep. The late game, 10:30 tonight, Utah. They host the Houston Rockets. Houston laying 3 points on the road, over under 214.5. Houston hammering Utah as well, up 3-0. They're looking for a sweep as well. Two games in the NHL playoffs tonight at 7 o'clock. We have Washington and Carolina. Carolina laying 125, over under set at 5.5. Caps up 3-2 in the best of seven series. Second game on the double bill at 8:30 as Dallas hosts Nashville. Stars laying 135, over under is 5. Dallas up 3-2 in this series, looking to move on to round two with a win. The Blue Jays are going to call up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. soon, just not next Tuesday. It was originally reported that he would make his MLB debut Tuesday against the San Francisco Giants. That's not going to happen, but reports indicate it will happen very soon after that. Jays pitcher Matt Shoemaker, too, off to a great start, done for the year with an ACL injury. Lots of baseball action tonight. Two games get the night started at 7:05. Chicago White Sox laying 130 at Baltimore, total 9.5. Vanderloos versus Hess. Arizona at Pittsburgh. Pirates minus 135, 7.5. Godley versus Musgrove. Three games at 7:10. Kansas City at Tampa Bay. Rays minus 170, over under 8. Keller versus Chirinos. Detroit takes on Boston. Red Sox minus 220, 7.5. Boyd versus Sale. Philly, they're at the New York Mets. Mets minus 120, over under 8.5. Arrieta versus Mats. Milwaukee and St. Louis slated for 7:45. The Cards minus 160, 8.5. Hauser versus Flaherty. At 8:10, we have Minnesota taking on Houston in Houston. Astros minus 189.5. Odorizzi versus Peacock. 8:40, Washington at Colorado to battle the Rockies at Coors. Rockies minus 125, total 11. Ellickson versus Anderson. And two games at 10:07 complete the sked. Yankees at Angels. It's a pick 'em. 8.5, Happ versus Harvey there. And Texas is at Oakland. The A's, after getting swept by the Blue Jays, laying 50 cents. 8.5 is your over-under. Miner versus Bassett. Stick around, everybody. We have games galore. NFL draft talk with Kent Summers from Arizona. We'll talk about the team with the first pick in the draft. And Mike Blewett. So much to talk about. We got tons of gambling picks for the NHL and NBA playoffs. Stick around. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. It's coming up next on the network. Stay tuned, everybody. Let's have a good one.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions. Let's go!
All right, let's roll. Game Time Decision, Ready to Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio. Now on YouTube as well. I'm Gable Morency. Throwing it down on this Monday. The Raging Redhead, Monday. Cam Stewart. What's going on, Cam?
Yeah, what's happening, Morency? A couple NBA games. We can get some sweeps tonight. We'll see what happens. And as usual, the Leafs can't take advantage of home ice, and we have a Game 7. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? We're going to ask Yang if he can to turn his freaking mic off. Come on, Yang. We're about like 30 seconds into the show, bro, here. So if we can lose the background noise.
Monday.
Dear God. Hey. All right. So if we can lose the background noise, that'd
the
be
morning
a nice
show,
start.
Gabe? How you doing?
I'm okay.
Okay, good.
Why?
I just don't like to see you rattled on Monday. I don't, you know, we had a lot of trials and tribulations last week, me and my health, and, you know, I just want to make sure everything's okay today. Nice and smooth.
Smooth. Yeah, no, the morning show is fine. The spirited show. Good show. Thank you. it's a decent show, and hopefully we have a decent show today as well.
Yes. Yeah, you stay up last night, watch that hockey game? That was pretty crazy, man. Woo-hoo.
No, I didn't.
Wow.
I didn't.
Oh, it was wild.
And it's not that I didn't stay up for it, but I fell asleep, like, before it even started.
Oh, I don't blame you. You're up in the morning. I stayed up and watched, and I'll tell you something, man. Vegas just dominating, and I got to give San Jose a lot of credit. Like, they were a team game. They just kept on dumping and dumping and dumping, and you know what happens. Usually it's a cheesy goal that ends in, and it was. So we got a game seven there, too. Crazy Tuesday night, buddy. Leafs and Bruins, Sharks and Vegas. Lots of fun in the basketball playoffs, too. Maybe the Raptors up 3-1. We can move on and take this dark cloud and curse off the city of Toronto.
Yeah, the Raptors will be fine against Orlando. The big one is the Boston Bruins. But I got to be honest, man. Like, yeah, I didn't have the best of weekend, Cam. The morning show was fine, thanks. But the picks over the weekend, it's a lot like betting every day is a lot like the playoffs. There's emotional roller coasters, right? Go up, you go down. And the big key to betting and the big key in the playoffs as well, never lose 2 days in a row or two games in a row, right? Bill Walsh, yes. Former San Francisco 49er head coach, used to talk about that. Like, he didn't mind losing a game ever, really. He was never really all that mad. He just said, guys, we can't lose 2 games in a row, though, right? We can't lose 2 games in a row. And unfortunately, I lost 2 games in a row. We had a great week last week, Cam. We won 5 days in a row, Monday through Friday, winners every day. Yep. Saturday, loser. Sunday, loser. As I was on the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday. And I thought, you know what, when I got that first goal, I was feeling pretty good about things.
Me too, buddy. I was feeling pretty good about it, but as usual, they take the foot off the gas, and that's what I've told you about this team, Gabe. It's a real problem. They just don't know how, when you have a 1-0 lead and the fans behind you, all of a sudden you just start playing lax. Boston scores that 1-1 goal, and they go to sleep, and then they wake up in the third period and expect to come back and win. That's the issue that I have with these guys. You know, they never know how to play a 60-minute game. Babcock better have them ready. The good news for them is they've played well in Boston before and won, so maybe, yeah. But it's just frustrating, though. This team, they know
they seem
taken
to be more responsible on the road.
Yes,
they seem to do all these things that they can't do that we talk about on the road.
I know.
At least a little bit better. They get caught up in it, Cam. Like, they won that game at home last week, and I should have known that they would get caught up in it, and they'd go back to their one-on-one ways the next game. It's like they win a game and they think like they're great, and look, we're just, you know, it's, they don't get it. It's 60 minutes, like every second, every shift. You can't let up. You can't let up. If Yang was a hockey player, he'd be a Leaf.
Keeping the mic on.
Good in the offensive zone. Pretty good, but he has a hard time like playing for 60 minutes.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Hopefully double to start the game, but we got out of it. Still scoreless. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Kent Summers will join us. Arizona Central Sports. Local beat writer for the Arizona Cardinals. Good get. Of course, Arizona Cardinals hold the top pick in the upcoming National Football League draft. A lot of stuff to talk about when it pertains to this draft. Will they take Kyler Murray? The odds makers believe so. 10-1 favorite to be the first player taken overall. I find it very fascinating about right after Kyler Murray. There was a lot of talk about, well, is it Nick Bosa? Is it Quinnen Williams? And I got to believe that the just sort of hourly by hourly updates on Nick Bosa's Twitter and Instagram, in which people just find more stuff, that at this point it's pretty hard to say that he's not racist. At least, you know, he's not really even hiding it, to be honest. I mean, he's retweeting stuff. He's liking stuff. He's liked a bunch of homophobic stuff. So it'll be interesting to see if it matters in a National Football League. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't think it matters with the owners, because I think most of the owners are racist in the National Football League. You know, it'll matter with some players. Will it matter with coaches? You know, I don't know. Let's bring in Mike Blewett, who's going to be live on this network on Thursday night during this draft. While this transpires, Mike Blewett joins us. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, fellas? I will be live. It'll be myself, Emery Hunt, Dane Martinez, maybe other people like yourself calling in to criticize or rejoice in who the Bills pick, and maybe Cam and who the Seahawks pick. So looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun night.
Yeah, I try not to be one of those guys that, like, boos people at the draft.
Yeah. Like, yeah. How do you know? Exactly.
Exactly.
It's one of those things. Chance. It's like people are like, the kid just got drafted. I've never understood that, too. It's like, oh, why'd you do this? And, oh, boo, boo, you're booing. The kid, and half the time, the kids turn out to be great. Like, it's just wait. It takes a while, you know? But people are very impatient these days, Gabe. And, Mike, you know that.
I remember Knicks fans booed the hell out of Kristaps Porzingis, and then they cried when he got traded.
Gonna use that example.
Exactly. Great
I was
point.
Just going to use that example. And excellent they booed point. A guy that, frankly, they didn't know anything about. And I'd be lying if I said I knew a lot about him. And
I don't know anything about anybody.
Eurobasket. Right.
You can go outside the draft. I don't like doing it. Like, it's mean-spirited because you're just making people look stupid. But if they're willing to do it, I guess. But you could go outside the draft and ask people and make up a name. Should they take Kwazon Shazam? Yeah, you know, third overall. The Jets better not pass on Kwazon Shazam, man. Great, great player. Oh, you got to take him. Got to take him, right? Like, and I've seen it firsthand. I've seen those videos. Jimmy Kimmel was the first one, Cam, years ago. He went outside the NFL draft in New York at Radio City Music Hall in the old days. And he made up a bunch of names. And he said, should the Jets take this guy? And people are like, oh, yeah, good wide. And they were like, yeah, good wide receiver. They went along with it, man. Same bozos in their Jet jerseys and Giant jerseys and stuff, booing everybody at the draft. They don't even know who's real and who's not.
Right. I agree. You know, this Nick Bosa thing, to your point, is picking up a lot of steam. I don't think it will really matter. You know, I don't know that it mattered that much in MLB. The guys later got run under the bus for
– exactly.
The better part of a week, and it blew over. And, you know,
so is it just acceptable to be a racist
now? The content
now?
Of the tweets, obviously, but do we, you and I talked about it last year. How much are we going to prosecute in public the 17-year-old that sends the off-color tweet? It's wrong.
17, my tweet, it's not like, it's one of those things where I'm not going to give a 17-year-old a pass. You know exactly what you're doing at that. You know, yeah, exactly. You know what you're doing at that age. And you talk about, yeah, the hater stuff. Oh, what'd the guy have to do? Take a course on, you know, being a nicer person or whatever. It's absolutely BS, man, the way they handle
the league shows that they don't really care that much.
No, they don't. They don't. And it's insulting to tell people that they do.
Society
they take some meaningless course.
Society does it as a whole. I mean, there was a politically correct era that we went through. And I think it got it went too far and it was overblown. But now there's like a big pullback to the other way where it's like, well, it doesn't matter. And listen, I'm not saying ban the kid from the National Football League, but I'm saying when he tweets that San Francisco is a hellhole and he doesn't want to live there, and I'm the San Francisco 49ers, and I see that he retweets homophobic slurs and other stuff, then I'm looking, I'm like, well, we could take Quinnen Williams, who doesn't think that San Francisco is a hellhole and hasn't tweeted out a bunch of homophobic stuff, or we could take this kid. You know, I think San Francisco is going to pass on him, Mike.
I think given that given the things that have been discovered about him, I think it would be smart to do it. It's hard to sell guys like that to the local community. And I think as many mistakes as Jed York has made in running the 49ers, I think he has at least shown to have a sense of social responsibility and a social conscience, especially considering the diverse nature of his city and his area.
He sort of has to there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He sort of has to there. So the question is then, the New York Jets, you think the New York Jets have no problem taking him? Let's say Kyler Murray goes first overall, which is expected. And then there's the second pick overall. Now, it's not like taking Quinnen Williams is a drop off, right? No. A lot of people think he's a better football player.
He's the best player. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know the Niners like him a lot. I was just reading about how they went to IHOP the other night together. It was his choice, Cam, for the record. The IHOP.
Nice. Yeah, I love IHOP. They got some really good deals now. Have you seen their new menu? It's killer. I like the IHOP. Great choice. Because
people are like, you took him to IHOP. And they were defensive. They were like, he said, let's meet at IHOP.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where he wanted to meet. So.
That's great.
Listen, Quinnen Williams, a monster. Bosa's really good, man, but he was hurt last year. He didn't play. This is developing. And then the Jets. I mean, do the Jets want to walk into this, Mike? Would it matter? I'm almost thinking Bosa falls to the Raiders in the four hole. That's like what I'm starting to feel right now. I don't think the Jets are going to want to deal with
it. It was going to be Bosa at two, but this does add some complication to the matter. I think the Jets would do it. Woody Johnson is obviously has been an ambassador under the Trump organization. I would imagine that he is maybe part of that overcorrection of political correctness. What's interesting is his son, Chris, who's been sort of running the team while Woody has been the ambassador.
He's the opposite, right?
He has seemingly been far more sensitive to these issues.
Much sensitive, yeah, exactly.
It's his son.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I think the Jets, and you took the words, you took the thought out of my mind here, Mike, in that I've noticed the Jets over the last year or two seem to be very socially conscious about things.
Yes.
And about doing the right thing, so to speak.
When Chris Johnson came out and said he will not fine or suspend players that kneel for anthem, he came out.
Exactly. Yeah. So is he going to turn around?
Interesting place for him to be. So.
And then you get the Raiders. The Raiders are so dysfunctional still, as always. They need to kick everyone out of the building.
Yes.
Like they literally told everyone, you got to go. Yeah. And basically, they
don't
trust anybody.
I turn over.
But the only thing, and by the way, those guys, I mean, they should have just cleaned out their offices, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not
good
coming
point,
back
Mike.
Anyway.
Exactly.
The Colts fired their whole scout staff.
Severance,
I believe it was, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, the Colts fired everybody the day after the draft. The Bills obviously made some pretty serious moves after the draft a couple of years ago to get McDermott's and Brandon Bean's people in there. I remember the Doug Whaley situation, and scouts went with him. So in totality, this isn't crazy that the room went on lockdown. It's odd, though, that you would send 14 people home from work that have been busting it for the last 6 months.
Well, it goes to show that they really don't have any respect for what these guys did in the last 14 months.
True.
And
they're fairly new to the building. So
yeah, and that's the thing that, all right, you know what? This draft is 1,000% on Gruden and on Mayock. And yep. They can't say otherwise after. You want to kick everyone out of the building. You guys know best. You know the. You know what I mean? You know everything. So let them kick everyone out, and they'll be held responsible for this. Gruden won't care because he's guaranteed $10 million a year.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. NFL draft rapidly approaching. Will Kyler Murray be the top pick overall? Sportsbooks seem to think so. Who'll be the second player taken? That's where it gets interesting.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, level two continues. 5 o'clock. We've got Heat Pompeii. 5:40, actually, to be exact. We talked the Nets and the Sixers with them. We'll play that in level two. We got Kent Summers will join us in about 20 minutes' time. He covers the Arizona Cardinals. We'll see if he thinks it's as much of a done deal as Kyler Murray going first overall. Let's run through some of the props right now, courtesy of FanDuel over at the Meadowlands. Number one pick taken in the draft, Kyler Murray 10-1, Nick Bosa 6-1, Quinnen Williams 15-1, Josh Allen 20-1, Dwayne Haskins, etc. He's not going to be the first pick taken. Which team will draft Kyler Murray? Arizona 10-1, and then there's a bunch of other teams. Will anybody trade up to try to take him? I don't know. And I'll start with you, Mike. So if Kyler Murray isn't taken first overall by Arizona, how far do you think he falls?
I wouldn't think he would get past the Giants, meaning it could be them, meaning it could be the Raiders, meaning somebody else could trade up there. If somebody sees Kyler not come off the board and say Arizona takes Bosa, or Arizona moves out and somebody else takes Bosa, or even Quinnen Williams or Ed Oliver or whomever, I think that somebody would jump up in front of the Giants to do it. I do think the Raiders, honestly, I don't think it's even a bold prediction. I think the Raiders are coming out of this first round with a QB. That's just what I've thought. If you gave me odds on Derek Carr not starting week one in 2020, I'd put a lot of money on it. I don't think he'll make it to Vegas. So I think he could be on the team this year. But I think they're coming out of the first round or that early second. I'll even extend that early second with a QB.
I think they would wait because Carr's under contract. I think they would like Herbert. I think they would like Tua moving forward.
They could.
But I think if Kyler Murray became available, then suddenly someone like Gruden would go, damn, we can get him fourth overall here. I'm going to pull the trigger on this, even though we didn't expect it. What do you think, Cam?
I was actually thinking, to Mike's point, I think when Kyler Murray goes first overall to Arizona, the Raiders are sitting there, Gabe, and you said it with Mayock and Gruden. This is their draft. They have four draft picks. Also, the Rosen situation, he's very annoyed of what's happening. And if they pick Murray, he's probably going to have to go. You know that. I think the Raiders are probably going to make a pitch for him. If not, I agree with you. I think they'll wait next year to get a quarterback. The class is good. But I think the Raiders are going to be one of these teams. We talked about New England guys. They're probably going to put a package together. But Arizona is going to be fielding calls for Rosen, a guy that really didn't have a chance to prove himself. And I'm telling you, with the Raiders and those draft picks, maybe they can do something about it to interest Arizona because he's not going to be going. Too many cooks in the kitchen there. I think the Raiders will make a pitch for Rosen.
You know what? I think Rosen will get traded, but not to the Raiders. I don't think they like him enough for that. I think it'll be to the Patriots, a team that will sort of stash Rosen. You know, maybe the New York Giants.
Washington.
Yeah, really Washington. Washington
sense.
Comes. Washington is the team that's sort of seems to have been talked about the most. The Giants seem to be looking at the Jones kid out of Duke. And it wouldn't surprise me, actually. It makes sense. I don't care about reports and blah, blah, mock drafts and all this stuff. But there's a correlation here in which, you know, Gil Brandt was stating that he's basically Peyton Manning 2.0. And you can't get Peyton Manning. Cooper can't play. So the only other Manning left basically is this Jones kid, all right? That was coached by David Cutliff, the same guy that was the quarterback coach for Peyton Manning. So there's a lot of symmetry there. Yes, yeah, so exactly. So this is the closest you're gonna get to a Manning, and they could get him with the 17th pick overall, most likely here. Maybe they'd have to trade up a pick or two, but I think they'd be comfortable. I think they could get him 17. I don't think other teams are about to make him the franchise quarterback. And then they could stash him behind Eli Manning for a year at Ronald Jones.
I think the Giants have to come out of the first round, out of those first 37 picks. They picked 37th, fifth pick in the second round. They have to come out of there with a QB. I think the Raiders will, but it isn't a guarantee. They don't have to. To your point, they can make some maneuvering with the amount of picks that they have now. Both the Giants and the Raiders have a lot of picks this year. The Raiders are front heavy. They have four of the first 33 picks. And the Giants have 12 picks overall. They have three in the top 37. I think the Giants absolutely have to come out of there with a QB. I think Washington
Raiders aren't under the same pressure.
Correct. So they could, to your point, they could look for Tua and Herbert next year. They could have some dalliances with Rosen. Clearly, Arizona wants more teams to be in on this. The Raiders, Washington, New York. But I feel like we'd already know if New York liked Rosen. Otherwise, they've done a pretty good job with smoke screens. We've talked about it too much, and it hasn't come up. I just don't think the Giants are going to pull the trigger on the Rosen thing at this point.
They're going to have to get aggressive, Arizona, and do this, you know, if they're going to do it. It must be tough, though. They can't like really actively shop Rosen right now.
No.
Without tipping their hand that they're taking Murray.
Exactly. Right? So the commissioner doesn't want them to do it.
It's a lose-lose.
Yeah, it's a weird, and it's just a weird deal that they're in. So it's almost like, all right, you know, I think Arizona is almost going to be like, all right, basically at about 5 o'clock on Thursday night, it's going to be, they're going to put the word out. What do you got, guys? Yeah, what do you got? Yeah, and they'll just say, we've already got a couple offers.
By 8 o'clock.
We've already got a couple offers. Last call. What are you offering us? Because I think they're going to wait and see. And other teams are sort of wondering, all right, like I said, it wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots were the team. Maybe the Chargers. One of these teams that people don't expect. Maybe not a team that wants to make Rosen a quarterback right away. Type of deal here. Now, what I find interesting, the prop is, so Kyler Murray's 10-1. Now, I don't have the balls to say that anyone else is going to be the first overall pick in this draft. But if we look at the second overall pick, the sports book doesn't seem to be fazed by Nick Bosa. It's -370 that Nick Bosa is the second player taken overall.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lay that right now under these circumstances. And Quinnen Williams is 5-1. I think it's worth a sprinkle, Cam, at 5-1. Like I said.
As the two pick.
You know, exactly. Like Bosa. Right. Bosa's on record as saying that he hates San Francisco, and it's a liberal hellhole. There's a lot of other stuff. We already talked about it. It wouldn't surprise me if they said, screw this. We like Quinnen Williams better anyways, and we don't want to deal with this guy. Quinnen Williams is legitimately that good. There's a lot of mock drafts. Not, you know, mock drafts are worth what a pack of papers are worth, but if that. But it's not a reach to say that Quinnen Williams would be taken by San Francisco guys at +500. That's a pretty good number, I think.
Definitely.
Agreed.
Definitely. That's a great number. Yeah. That's a great number. I can't believe you're going to get 5-1. Gabe, it's one of those things, though, and we know as gamblers, and Blewett's a gambler, too, they're leaving Bosa at that number because they think it doesn't really matter. It's going to happen. He will go second, even with all these comments. They wouldn't leave a number that juicy there unless – Don't you find it interesting, Morency? You know how these sports books work.
Well, the prop,
they're obviously not intimidated.
The props for the draft are very, very interesting in that there's no algorithm for this. It's not, you know what I mean? There's not a computer. It's not a point spread. There's no algorithm. And really, you'll notice the correlation between basically what Mel Kiper and McShay and these guys and websites say that's all they can really go off is the media for the most part. Now, I'm sure that there's a guy sort of like when Jay Cornegane, the guys from the Westgate, when the Alliance Football League started, they went down to like the scrimmages and stuff to sort of grade the teams and, you know, so they could set numbers. They could see for themselves. All right. What kind of league is this? I don't know who the sports books would have, but I would imagine there's a consultant. They have a consultant. You know what I mean? It's telling like one of the, you know, all the sports books hire him type of thing, and they know, okay, this is sort of what's expected. But they're sort of vulnerable to this because I've said this a million times. It's not like general managers are telling Pete Prisco or Adam Schefter what they're going to do in the draft, guys. We don't know.
So where did Prisco get his story from that Kyler's not going number one? He just wrote that Saturday.
Yeah.
He's convinced that the Cardinals are out on Murray.
Yeah, but this is why you almost just have to block this stuff out now.
I just, it's so funny that you said that, because that was literally going to be my theme about the draft. From this point on, I can't listen
Nothing's
to anybody
real.
Else. Right. It's what Cam said right before the NCAA tournament. He's like, I'm done listening to everyone. I'm filling
exactly.
out my bracket.
And look, and he won.
Right.
Yeah, thank
you. And you won. Yeah,
actually had the final. That's something new.
Yeah. No, but I'm going to say it's funny because here it is here too. I've seen, like, you go to a website and they have conflicting stories on the front page. So here's Sports Illustrated, their big story on top. Mock draft, NFL. Kyler Murray goes number one. Then five players that stand out for the pack. Right underneath it. So Albert Breer wrote that. Right underneath it. NFL rumors. Cardinals unlikely to draft Kyler Murray at number one. So it's like, I don't know. I mean, even the media are giving me two different spins on the same freaking front page.
I'll say this. Like, in recent years, the teams have actually done a much better job keeping this stuff close to the vest. And, you know, maybe it is because they are, you know, Daniel Jeremiah sent a tweet out after the Raider story came in, and he said when he started in scouting in 2003, that board was open to a lot of people. As many as 12, 15 guys could see the board, see what the room was thinking, so everybody could be, quote, on the same page. But now, not so much. It's down to three or four guys. They keep it closed. They keep everybody else out of the room because there's leaks in the building. And I think that's just kind of where we're at. We didn't know Baker was number one until right down to the wire last year.
Oh, you're right. They did a great job. They really have. Just like we didn't know people would trade up to get Mitch Trubisky. Mike Blewett, matchup Thursday night live. Dean Martinez and Emery Hunt breaking down the National Football League draft right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Networks.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Get your tax refund and swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the eighth Daily Roto Optimizer winner to win $1 million in FanDuel or DraftKings tournaments and become one of the countless number of people that have won thousands and thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, the use of the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a special 10% discount today, Gabe.
I will do that. I will do it, Cam.
Correct.
You know what? Actually, I was in first place late on Friday night in an NBA DFS. Yep. Like, literally, like, second place, Cam, with, like, a couple of minutes left in the game type of thing.
So
out of, like, 4,000 people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and ultimately, it's, you know, the first prize was like $2,000.
Nice.
So I was like, oh man, maybe this is the night. Maybe, 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 maybe. I entered. It cost me $4 to enter, and it's too bad. It was one of these deals where before I entered, I was like, I know this lineup's gonna hit. It was one of those deals where I was like, man, I think this is gonna be it. It was like a two-game showdown late at night type thing. I was like, you know what? I really like this lineup. I use the optimizer for the most part. I tweak like one player or whatever, but I was like, I really like this lineup. I think it's going to do well. But there weren't a lot of contests. Like, one of them was $55 to enter. I knew that Dick Meyer and Ricky Sanders are waiting for me there. So I was like, no.
Yep. So, heavy hitters there.
Yeah, there was contest. 55 and 38. I don't know. It was all these expensive ones.
Little
and there was a dollar one. I'm like, nah, I don't want the dollar
too
one.
Too low.
I was like, I'll go to $4 one. I should have entered a few times, but all that, Cam, I ended up finishing in, like, 48th place. So, like, right at the end, $20.
Yep. Same thing happened to me in my NHL.
$4 for $20.
I was so excited. I was in sixth place out of, like, 500 and something people, I told you. and everything's going great. And then Hellebuck, when St. Louis scored that goal to win, and then after that, I was just like, yeah, I went from 6th to like 92nd, nothing. It changes so quick in those contests, man. It's unbelievable. Like, you think you're going to get the money, and one bad thing goes wrong, you're toast. Oh, it's so frustrating.
Late basketball, it switches, Cam, with every, like, bucket. Like,
every
three-point shot, it just, you can go up and down. For the most part, though, everyone sort of has the same players. And what happened is I had a loaded lineup with a bunch of star players. I had Oklahoma City player. I had, like, Westbrook, George, McCollum, and Lillard. So I stacked it. And I had a couple of scrubs, but the scrubs did well for me. Like, Morris did pretty well. He got, like, 23 points for really cheap. And the other guy, I think Terrence Williams it was, whoever, was very cheap, and he got me some points. But the problem was those guys weren't playing at all late in the game, Cam.
That's the problem. Then you just see
I couldn't catch up. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, everyone, I had Westbrook, and I had Lillard and everything, but so did everyone else. And my other two sleeper guys weren't on the court in the last 8 minutes of the game, right? So I was sort of down two guys. Late. All right, we're having a hard time tracking down Ken Summers, but we'll see if we can before we're done here. There's a prop, Cam, and, you know, there's a lot of different props around, but here's one. Total quarterbacks taken in the first round of the draft. It's over under 3.5, plus 190 to the under, minus 250 to the over. I really don't, you know, I don't love laying minus 250, but I don't see their not being four quarterbacks taken in the first round.
There has to be. There has to be, right? And the way, and you talked about the way they're beefing up Jones, and even watching positions of Jones, you know, he looked like Peyton Manning, same kind of body type, long and lanky there. It's just a Duke uniform instead of a Tennessee uniform. Murray's going. You know, Haskins is going. Jones is going. Locke's going. That's four.
Yeah.
They all have to go in the first round. They have to.
Kyler
Murray goes, he'll go in like 28, 30. Like there has, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, four or five quarterbacks, four definitely. Yes, I would lay the juice, Gabe, and I'm not one to lay that much juice, but I don't see any less
because
than four.
There's almost three automatics right out of the gate, right? You got Kyler
That's
Murray. You got Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, and Drew Lock. Drew Lock's not getting into the second round, bro.
No.
Like, if the Denver Broncos don't take him, somebody else will quickly, like after 10.
I think Jones is a lock for the first round, too. Like, who knows about him and Locke? Like, they're both there, Gabe. Like, people are very high on Jones, right? So,
yeah, I don't think they're going to want to wait exactly to the second round because they're going to be worried Jones has gone late.
Yeah.
Because teams could take a quarterback late and just sort of stash him. You don't really, they can say, wow, Jones is pretty good.
He's
not going to be there in the second round.
What about New England? Say the Rosen thing doesn't work, and that story broke like a while ago, Gabe, that the Patriots have given Arizona a call. And, hey, I think a lot of teams should be doing that. You mentioned it, Phillip Rivers. He's no spring chicken anymore. Hell, the guy's got like nine kids. He's not going to be in the league longer. They want to get a real good backup there. Like, there's teams that have older quarterbacks that have to think about the future. And if there's a gem there on the board, you take them. You take the best player available for you.
You're getting a first-round talent. You're getting a first-round talent in Josh Rosen for, like, a third-round draft pick right now.
Exactly. That's crazy. I'd go after him.
Yeah, I think the
I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, too. He's going to be real angry, Gabe. They're, with all this story, you know, I'm annoyed by this, whatever. Like, he's probably seething. Think about this guy. He is a team traded up to get you. You're probably not going to be the guy anymore. And he's just sitting there going, really? Okay. Well, Kingsbury and you guys, you wanted this guy? Great. Another team's going to get him, and he's going to make it his life's mission to be amazing. And Rosen is a guy that has the skill set. Arizona didn't give him much. They had a bad offensive line. Larry Fitzgerald's the only receiver. Christian Kirk's a young guy. The offensive line was beat down. McCoy's system didn't work for David Johnson. There was a lot of problems there. I don't blame him. He needed at least another year to get more acclimated, and I thought he did pretty well for a guy that was fighting a losing battle. Your take?
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that I think it's premature to judge Josh Rosen right now.
For sure.
At least in any sort of negative, in any negative light, right now. You know, we saw the same thing with Jared Goff after a year. Like, it was dysfunction in Arizona last year. You know, it was that simple. It's dysfunction in Arizona. You had a new defensive coach. Never really had a chance. Mike McColl is an idiot. Let's just be real. One of the worst offensive coordinators in recent memory. Terrible offensive coordinator. You look at the reps. For some reason, they gave Sam Bradford money there.
Yeah.
Rosen didn't get a ton of reps during camp, at least not as a number one guy. And Arizona, truthfully, might have had the worst offensive line in football.
For sure.
Yeah, David Johnson's a good player. He couldn't get it going there.
Exactly.
Their offensive line was terrible. I think they started like 11 different offensive lines in 16 games. And to be honest, Josh Rosen played pretty well in the last month of the season.
I think
really.
So, too.
Like you said, under
so
very
too.
Difficult circumstances.
I think he's got a tremendous upside, Gabe. He's a smart kid. And with all the things that have happened, I can tell you one thing. Sometimes you need something to motivate you. Hell, he's a first-round pick. They go to Murray. He'll have this for the rest of his NFL career to think about, going, they passed up on me for this guy. Well, it's fun proving people wrong, and I think he's going to be that guy. So if I was a team, I'd be very, very, very interested and be giving Arizona a lot of calls to make it work, because I think he's going to be a good quarterback.
I agree with you. I agree. I think Josh Rosen's career, there's still a lot of football left. You know, there's still a lot to be written about Josh Rosen's career. But it does seem to be that the Arizona Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray. You know, it's 10-1. If you don't think it, if you're out there, guys, and you don't think that Kyler Murray goes first overall, there's money to be made.
Lots of it.
I just see right now. Well, I saw a headline. I'm like, holy crap! Former UFC fighter killed by a rideshare driver following argument. Rodrigo de Lima. Yeah, police in Brazil are searching for the rideshare driver who killed former UFC fighter Rodrigo de Lima after a dispute on Sunday. According to police, de Lima got into an argument with the driver and left the car in Belém, Brazil, but then was struck from behind. The driver then fled the scene. In 13 MMA matches, he was 9-3-1, but went 0-2 in the UFC. He survived by his wife and two children, man. Yeah, they're freaking crazy in Brazil, bro.
Joe told me a long time ago he wanted me to go to South America, but he says he's got to come with me because you can't be looking like me walking the streets there. He says you got to have somebody who's Portuguese or Brazilian by your side. You said it, Gabe. It's not like walking down the street for a stroll. You're easy pickings. And a target that looks like me, I'm very easy pickings.
Yeah, I stick out too. But it's all right. Listen,
yeah.
Brazil isn't all right. Brazil is very dangerous.
Yeah, he told me it's very, very dangerous.
Portugal is not. Portugal's in
Europe.
No,
Portuguese,
right?
Joe said Portugal's fine. He said more Brazil, like more South America.
Yeah.
Even he has to keep his head on a swivel, and he's
no. Locals have to keep. No, exactly. This guy's in a UFC, and he got killed by, like, guy's a UFC fighter. The driver didn't care. He just ran him over after. You know what I mean? Like, they're nut jobs.
What happened to Till this weekend? He had, what was it, the hotel? And he went bananas, right, Gabe? Darren Till?
Did Darren Till go nuts? Yeah, he seems like a crazy dude, too.
Yeah, something happened this weekend. I didn't hear about that.
He crashed the hotel
room and did something else, too. He went bananas.
Yeah, good call. I didn't see this.
I like to be the news guy, Gabe. That's what I'm here for.
Good call, yeah. Okay. According to Spanish outlet El Diaz, a UFC fighter Darren Till was one of five British citizens arrested in Spain for causing damage to a hotel and accidentally stealing a taxi.
I don't know how you accidentally steal a taxi. You steal a taxi.
Yeah, what did he do? Sources say the group broke furniture and emptied fire extinguishers. Why would you do that? Like at a hotel?
That's what I'm saying. That's a sign of like,
God, they're so stupid.
Empty a fire extinguisher? That's craziness. That foam. Like you're in big trouble doing that, man. Like,
They got removed from the property.
Yep.
They didn't get arrested for that. They got kicked out. So basically, they smashed a room up, started setting fire extinguisher off in the hallway. They got kicked out of the hotel. The group then traveled to another hotel, but refused rooms. The hotel said, we'll call a taxi for you, but we're not letting you stay here. As the driver loaded the back of the car with luggage, Till got in the car and drove off. He was then intercepted by patrol, the national police.
What do you think he's doing?
That sounds like it's
alcohol related. Alcohol related.
Well, yeah, he's British, right? These Brits get all liquored up and stuff, Cam, you know?
Yeah,
they like to go nuts. They stole a taxi. So I don't know, like, he didn't accidentally steal it. Doesn't sound like he accidentally stole a taxi. It sounds like he got in and drove off with the taxi.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You can't accidentally steal a taxi. You go in, you get the driver out, you leave. Stolen.
Nice and 80.
That's so stupid. The extinguisher part's enough to get you in trouble, man. You can't mess with those. You ever seen one of those things go off? It's crazy.
I feel no sympathy. Coming off of two straight losses. Yeah, I feel no sympathy for this guy. He's an idiot.
Yep, a lot of craziness going down there. I thought that story. I'm like, what's this guy doing, man? Is he nuts?
Today's actually the anniversary, too, of I think it's the 15th year. Yes, it is. The 15th anniversary of Pat Tillman's death today.
Love Pat Tillman. Great player at Arizona State. And, yeah, that actually, Gabe, that's crazy. Like, it was one of those stories that, you know, when it happened, like, it was almost, like, unbelievable. And Pat Tillman, you know, when he played, he wasn't just, like, a player. Like, he was a very, very good player, college, Arizona State, and in the pros. And the fact that he picked a military career over football just tells you, man, how hardcore Pat Tillman was.
Yeah, real sad story, the Pat Tillman story. Yeah, may he rest in peace on the 15th anniversary here today. Yeah, Kent Summers will join us in a 5 o'clock hour now. We just had to shuffle it.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Stay away from me. Game Time Decisions, Ready to Rage Radio, Defense, Sports Art Radio Network. I am Kevin Spencer, out of Rage Redhead, Cam Stewart. Kent Summers will join us at a 5 o'clock hour. Keith Pompey, Philadelphia Inquirer. And we got Arizona covering the NFL Draft. Got pretty crazy, Cam, in Brooklyn on Saturday.
Fight.
Yeah, rough. Little brawl, the old Brooklyn brawl, as Joel Embiid, as usual, starts shit and then backs off, and Jimmy Butler's got to deal with it after and get kicked out of the game. But the Brooklyn Net general manager actually stormed the referee's room, Cam, after.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, he actually entered their dressing room to confront them and berate them.
Excellent.
For what he saw was a long list of missed calls in the last couple of minutes of that game. And it's interesting because Charles Oakley, who's a Knick, yet he's kind of on the outs with the Knicks. I mean, they arrested him. So he's going to Brooklyn games now. So Oak is going to Brooklyn games. And, you know, and listen, even Oakley, people always say, oh, in the old days, Oakley is tough and basketball. Even Oakley said Embiid should have been kicked out of the game. Even Oakley. Oakley said, yeah, he's deliberately trying to hurt people. Like, Oakley knows. And Oakley would have dropped him by now, right? Like, that's the thing. Embiid keeps pushing his luck. Like I said, we'll see if Embiid is so trashy and wants to start as much crap against the Raptors later in the week against Marc Gasol and against Serge Ibaka and Kawhi Leonard if he's going to talk
as
much.
They'll put him in a pretzel. And I'll tell you another thing, Morenci. That's the issue that I have with the NBA. It's been going on for long. Brooklyn has been getting jobbed in the series with the calls. And that's the one thing about hockey in comparison to basketball. A lot of the time, you know, it seems more fair. I know there's a certain agenda where you want certain teams to succeed. But when I look at the reffing, most of the time it's pretty on point. But in the NBA, these teams continue to get calls like Golden State does and Philadelphia does versus Brooklyn. Just the way it is, buddy. It's wrong, but that's the way it is.
I think the NHL's gotten better. You're right. I mean,
they've gotten way better. Way better. Used to be brutal.
You can't dispute years ago. Like, they did seem to help Ducks and Kings, didn't they?
Yes, they did. That was a long time ago, though.
They did seem to help Vegas last year in the playoffs, too.
That's true. That's true. Not as much as the NBA, though, buddy.
But you're right. You're right. Listen, I think the NHL referees are the best in the business. I think they're the best major professional sports officials.
True.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Stewart with the Fantasy Sports Radio News Update. NBA, we might be busting out some rooms tonight, pair of playoff games, and we could have some eliminations. Things get going at 8 o'clock Eastern with Detroit hosting Milwaukee. It's been all Bucks in this series. Milwaukee laying 12.5 points on the road. Total 221. Milwaukee dominating up 3-0, looking for that sweep. Late game, 10:30. This one we thought would be a little bit closer, but Utah on the brink as well. Houston laying 3 points on the road over under 214.5. Houston hammering Utah in this series. Also going to try to bring out the brooms. Two in the NHL tonight. Big games at 7 o'clock. Washington and Carolina. To Carolina, they need to win to survive. They're laying 25 cents at home. Over under 5.5. Caps up 3-2 in the best of seven. In the second game of the doubleheader at 8:30, Dallas hosting Nashville. The Stars, they're one win away from moving on. Laying 135. Over under in this hockey game. Low sits at 5. Dallas up 3-2 in the series. They're looking to move to round two. Three teams in the possible mix for Seahawks star defender Frank Clark. The New York Football Jets, Indianapolis, and Kansas City among the teams that have discussed a potential trade with the Seahawks. Seattle's believed to be open to trading the pass rushing specialist ahead of Thursday's NFL draft, but they're looking for a first rounder in compensation. Clark notched a career high 13 sacks last season, but his contract demands might be a little bit too pricey for Seattle. The 25-year-old he's yet to sign his $17.1 million franchise tag as he pursues a long-term deal with the club. The Buffalo Bills inking another running back, T.J. Yeldon, to a two-year deal. He's coming off a subpar season, 104 carries for 404 yards and just one touchdown on the ground. Buffalo now a backfield of McCoy, Gore, and Yeldon. Peyton Manning turning down opportunities to join ESPN's Monday Night Broadcast crew. The 43-year-old has been a hot commodity among broadcasting outlets since his retirement, but yet to bit on any offers there. He's not biting. He's doing a lot of commercials and making money, too. Jury selection begins in the second trial in the NCAA hoop bribery scandal. The trial of business manager Christian Dawkins and ex-amateur league director Merle Code beginning in Manhattan court today. The Toronto Blue Jays expected to call up Vladimir Guerrero soon, but not as soon as expected. It was originally reported he will make his MLB debut on Tuesday versus the San Francisco Giants in an interleague series. That's not going to happen, but reports indicate it will be very soon. Jays pitcher Matt Shoemaker done for the year, a horrible break with an ACL injury. Today, the Yankees, they've cut ties with veteran lefty Gio Gonzalez. Lots of baseball action tonight. This just in, we have a postponement. Detroit and Boston postponed due to weather. Two games get going tonight at 7:05. Chicago White Sox laying $1.30 at Baltimore. Total 9.5. Fanilos versus Hess. Arizona at Pittsburgh. Pirates minus 135. 7.5. Godley and Musgrove. 3 at 7:10. We got Kansas City at Tampa Bay. The Rays swept this weekend. They're minus 170 tonight. Total 8. Keller versus Chirinos. Philly, they're at the New York Mets. Mets minus 20 cents. Over under 8.5. Arrieta versus Steven Dormats. We got Milwaukee and St. Louis slated for 7:45 tonight. Cards minus 160, 8.5. Hauser and Flaherty, 8:10. Minnesota, Houston, Astros minus 180, 9.5. Odorizzi and Peacock, 8:40. Washington at Coors to battle Colorado. The Rockies, small favorites, 125, over under 11. Ellickson and Anderson, two games at 10:07, completing the sked. Yankees and Angels, pick them 8.5. Happ versus Harvey. Texas at Oakland, A's minus 50, 8.5. Minor versus Bassett. Stick around, everybody. We got picks galore. We're also going to talk the NFL draft. Kent Summers from Arizona will talk about the potential first-round pick of the Cardinals. Lots of gambling talk with me and Gabe. We got NHL playoff picks, NBA picks, and a whole lot more. It's hour two of Red Heat and Rage Radio, hosted by Gabe Morenci. I'm Cam Stewart. More radio talk coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions. Go, level two has begun. You heard a raging redhead, Cam Stewart, tell you that Kent Summers is going to be coming up in a couple of minutes. We'll talk NFL draft with Kent Summers.
We spoke with Keith Pompey earlier in the morning about this very contemptuous series between the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Although he was pretty much, he's a Philadelphia guy, so he's all like pro. Yeah. They think it's all great in Philadelphia. And yeah. Listen, it is working in a sense, but at the same point in time, Jimmy Butler got kicked out too. So that wasn't a good trade-off. You know, the Brooklyn will take that, Jared Dudley for Jimmy Butler, but he has gotten three players ejected. Marcus Smart got ejected for pushing him in the back that time. They kicked Eric Bledsoe out of the game, but not Embiid for throwing a ball. And now again the other day. It's ridiculous. Like, the league, this is why in Charles Oakley's words, where he should have been kicked out, but he said his quote was, there's a lot of bullshit in the NBA that goes on in the playoffs. And we know this is Raptor fans, right? You know, you might be Brooklyn and stuff, but they like Joel Embiid. He has TV commercials and stuff. They like promoting him, and they want to get him into the next round. And quite frankly, I'm concerned that the Raptors are going to get jobbed too.
Excellent point, Gabe. And another thing is, you said it. When I look at Kawhi Leonard, he's one of those guys, he'd rather not speak to the media. He lets us play on the court decide. Kind of a soft-spoken guy, a little bit nervous in the press conference with the laugh. I love it personally, but that's not the world that we're living in. The Raptors don't have the type of guys that Philadelphia has, those name guys who like to chirp Embiid. And you know what? It's worked against us every year that we've played LeBron James. And people can say, I get it. I know. Like, hey, Cleveland won those games, but we were at many of those games, and they did not get calls on their home floor. It's been going on forever.
Yeah,
and
just
I would be
like
very,
Brooklyn.
Very concerned. Yeah, and I just like
just
Brooklyn.
Like Brooklyn. Brooklyn. You remember last
Brooklyn
year the game
is like
we were
the
at.
Raptors. They're
we
like
got
the Raptors
screwed
a long time
late.
Ago.
It was a foul. Everyone freaked about DeRozan missing a shot or whatever. He got fouled, and it was a foul. And then after, they ended up losing the game. Everything changed after because it would have been 1-1. Everything changed after. And then remember the next night, the NBA, oh, it should have been called a foul. Yeah, no yeah, shit, it should have been
matter.
Called a foul. Thanks, the next day.
Thanks.
So, you're like, the NBA does the same thing. You're like, oh, yeah, there should have been a call to foul. Brooklyn should have went to the line. Yeah, well, that's a difference between the series being 2-2 and 3-1.
Exactly.
Like, but you guys like got what referee. You wanted. You want, yeah.
It's like the referee who apologized to Seattle in the Super Bowl and Jerome Bettis' night.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know what? I did a horrible job in that game. We'll tell Hasselbeck, Holmgren, and the rest of the Seahawks that. Like, I'm sick and tired of these apologies years after or days after. These guys should have to go down and get peppered like players do. Players have to go and deal with the stuff. There should be times where the referee, you have 10 minutes to basically grill these guys, tell them what's going on. And I would be concerned, Gabe, you're absolutely correct. Brooklyn is being treated the way the Raptors are. They favor Philadelphia as more of a marketable team. You know what I mean? And that's the problem that I have with the NBA and the playoffs. It's a damn popularity contest, and the reffing shows it.
Yeah, and in the next round, who are they going to want? They either get Philadelphia versus Boston, which is like a dream for them.
It's
or Philadelphia
dream.
And Embiid versus the Greek Freak.
Or
Embiid versus the Greek Freak in the next round later. And
take that.
Yeah, and that they and Greek Freak and Embiid have a thing going on too, which shows because Giannis is a pretty nice guy that doesn't have a lot of feuds in the NBA, but he doesn't like Joel Embiid. So we got NHL hockey tonight on the board, NBA basketball, two closeout games tonight in the association. Generally, we'll run over the numbers later, but generally teams do not put up much of a fight when they're down 3-0 in the association. And in the NHL, we've got an elimination game here tonight. You jumped on the Dallas Stars wagon, and I credit you for it. I think they're a dangerous team, but this has been such a weird series. It wouldn't surprise me if Nashville won tonight, and I'm going to go down swinging with the Preds.
Oh, I love you, buddy, but I'm with the Stars. Got to ride out my series pick. I think they take care of business tonight, but you're right. Nothing would surprise me.
Capitals and Canes, not an easy game. We'll break that down at four.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, let's do this. Level 2 continues. Game Time Decisions, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio. I'm Gabriel Moretzi. Throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We'll get back to the NHL playoffs. We'll touch on the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball as well. I think there's rain in Boston right now in a Red Sox game this evening. But we spent a lot of time talking about the NFL draft, and I have enjoyed just remembering Pat Tillman right now in the Arizona Republic. Kent Summers joins us right now. Kent, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, with everything that's going on, and we'll talk about the draft and stuff, but I'm glad that Mr. Pat Tillman remembered today. It's amazing that it's been 15 years, hasn't it, Kent? It's man, I didn't realize it's the 15th anniversary.
Yeah, 15th anniversary of that terrible day. I was on the Cardinals beat then, and we started to hear rumors, you know, that a day or two before that something had happened to Pat in action. And then actually the news broke on draft day, the first day of the draft that year. Denny Green was in his first year as Cardinal coach, and what's normally an exciting day for a team became a really, really somber one. And fans just streamed by the team facility and built a memorial for him, and the whole thing was just surreal. And it's good that everybody kind of pauses and actually thinks back to a lot of the good memories and all the positive impact Pat had on people.
And it's sad when you mentioned it was Denny Green's first year, and unfortunately Coach Green no longer with us either. And
Denny was in a terrible position that year, first year on the job, and he had never coached Pat Tillman, and he was really bewildered at how to act and what to say, et cetera.
All right, Kent, so let's, speaking of bewildered, a lot of people are bewildered. It's NFL draft week right now, and I'm reading here Sportsnet New York is reporting that the Giants are interested in Josh Rosen, but they're worried about how, quote, his personality will fit in New York. Giant organization, quote, how will Rosen handle the press when inevitably things go wrong on the field? And this stuff just makes me so mad. We heard the same stuff about his personality last year, and I'm just thinking, because Mr. Eli Manning's Mr. Personality in press conferences, right?
Yeah. It's such a cliche with Josh Rosen, and
it really is.
You know, and it stems from this time last year where supposedly, it was a personality problem, and was he a spoiled rich kid? How much did he love the game? Would he mouth off, et cetera, et cetera? And I mean, he couldn't have handled himself any better as a rookie and under terrible circumstances for historically one of the worst offenses in NFL history. And it really wasn't his fault. Terrible offensive line in front of him, bad coaching. And, he stood in there game after game, took a beating, stood up in press conferences after games, didn't blame teammates, took on the responsibility, really did everything you want out of a starting quarterback. Now, are you getting an Eli Manning who's going to be fairly quiet? And no, Josh Rosen's outspoken. Like Eli, he's very intelligent, but I think he's far more willing to share his opinions politically and otherwise. And, you have to be willing to accept that. But I think his heart's in the right place, and he's a very bright kid, and I think he really loves football.
Is this locked in? I mean, I was just going to ask, but it's like from the odds makers, and, I'm in New York here, and I was at the FanDuel Sportsbook, so legal wagering here, and they've got it at 10-1 that Kyler Murray is going to be the first pick. And in the gaming world, there's a consensus, and as sports books are pretty good at predicting these things. Yet is Kyler Murray such the slam dunk to be the first overall pick?
I don't think so. I mean, he could well be the first overall pick. I mean, probably the odds are in that favor, but I've heard, someone like Mel Kiper say he's 99.9% sure Murray's the first pick. Well, You know, I'm not 99.9% sure of anything in my life, much less that Kyler Murray's going to be the first overall pick. And the Cardinals have kept very tight lips over this. They've shut the information down. So I think anybody out there who's saying they know what the Cardinals are going to do, I think they're taking a pretty liberal view of reporting, et cetera. I don't know that. I do know Cliff Kingsbury has had a relationship with Kyler Murray for a long time. He does like the kid. I don't know if he thinks he can be an NFL quarterback or if he's a perfect fit for his system, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it's going to be a very interesting Thursday night.
Yeah, Ken, we'll see, too. The thing is, your hands are tied, right? Because we talk about Josh Rosen, and I agree with you 100%. I think he did a fair job with Mike McCoy. With that offense, David Johnson was never the same player. They didn't have offensive line. Larry Fitzgerald does his best, but he's an older receiver. Like, what do you want the kid to do? Now he has to wait and see what's going to happen with Kyler Murray. It's like the hands are tied with Arizona. What are these guys? What are they going to do? The thing is, you just don't know with this guy. And I got to believe that some of these teams are calling thinking, wow, Arizona moved up to get him earlier last year. They traded up to get Rosen, and I think he has untapped potential, and I'm with you guys. I think he's a quarterback that will play with a chip on his shoulders. If they do go with Murray, he's going to have something that fuels him for the rest of his career.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he did pop off when he was drafted last year that he was the fourth quarterback taken, and three teams before the Cardinals made a mistake by not taking Josh Rosen. So, I think the kid can play. I wrote earlier this week that they should, try and trade down. And failing that, they should sit where they are and take one of the best defensive players and basically come out of this draft with Josh Rosen and a great defensive player rather than Kyler Murray and nobody else.
Cliff Kingsbury, how much power does Cliff Kingsbury have in this? I mean, he's a rookie coach. He comes in here. Generally, coaches aren't, don't have the final decision. What is the decision pecking order with the Arizona Cardinals?
It's a great question in this case because Cliff Kingsbury didn't have any NFL coaching experience. He's deferred to general manager Steve Keim in almost everything. Steve Keim helped him put together his staff to attract some veteran coaches. And he admitted to us last week in a press conference that he's relied heavily on time and drafting ability and determining the board. But yet there is this relationship with Kyler Murray. And I have a hard time thinking that if Cliff Kingsbury went to Steve Keim and team president Michael Bidwell and said, look, you hired me because I'm an offensive coach and I'm an innovator and I want Kyler Murray as my quarterback. I think I'd have a hard time seeing those two saying, no, we're going to go a different direction. So if Cliff Kingsbury stands on the table and says, I want Kyler Murray, I think he'll get him. I haven't seen any sign yet that that's in Kingsbury's DNA. It certainly hasn't been the relationship so far with him and Steve Keim, the general manager.
You know, what's interesting too, you never know. I mean, remember when remember we thought, Michael Vick in Philadelphia and, Chip Kelly's going there and, Nick Foles doesn't really fit the system. Nick Foles threw 27 touchdowns and had two interceptions only that year in that system.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Rosen can throw the ball. It's not crazy that he can't play in this system as well, right?
No, it's not crazy at all. And I think there's also a misconception that Cliff Kingsbury requires a running quarterback for that air raid offense. And that's just not true. He really didn't have that at Texas Tech. Now, Patrick Mahomes can run and is very mobile, but I don't know that Patrick Mahomes, ran for a ton of yards at Texas Tech. That didn't happen. Most of his damage was done in the pocket and moving around and creating time for himself. So, I think Josh Rosen is talented enough. He could be successful in this system. And it's not going to be a total air raid offense. There's going to be some elements of traditional NFL offenses in that. I mean, they've spent the last few months sort of meshing different kinds of systems. And none of us really know what this offense is going to look like.
Kent Summers with us. Kent, we've only got about 6 seconds. Is Kyler Murray a Cardinal Thursday night? Yes or no?
I've said no for a while.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Time decisions continues. Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. Boston Red Sox game versus Detroit has been postponed officially. Officially canceled. There will be a doubleheader set for 1:05 tomorrow afternoon. Game two regularly scheduled for 7:10 p.m. Eastern time. Those of you with tickets for today's game, tickets will be valid for game one of the doubleheader tomorrow afternoon, Cam.
Excellent, Gabe. Gives us something else to bet on tomorrow. Love the afternoon action.
You know what?
It's selfish, but it's true.
So you're just happy there's a 1 o'clock game to bet on now tomorrow.
Correct.
I have a couple of parlays. I put the Red Sox in. I figure Chris Sale's got to win a damn game sometime, right? So
now it's void.
Well, yeah. I don't know what it means. So.
Yeah, never happened to me. Just void. Yeah, you'll just
But now the other game just reverts back. On the parlay.
That's right. Yeah.
Now it's just the one game play on the other team. Yeah.
Correct. So yeah. Go whatever you got there. What game is that? Anything but Dallas. Don't have Nashville on it.
Houston Astros.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I'll cheer for you then.
The other one I have is the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh yeah, Rays. Oh, yeah, hear that, Gabe. We're in a Survivor baseball pool. You know where you did. We should probably get one started. I think we had 169 teams already eliminated. Billy the Doorman with Tampa Bay. All they needed was one win against Boston. Got swept. Apparently, 130-something teams are, like, gone already. Like, crazy stuff happened. People bet against Cincinnati. They were on fire against San Diego. A lot of upsets so far in baseball, too, Gabe. A lot of underdogs. Winning outright. It's been pretty crazy. I haven't seen that many people knocked out this early in a pool in a while.
Well, we did remember last year, our baseball survivor, too. Nobody lasted more than 2 weeks. Everyone was out week one, and then week two was over.
Started. That's what I'm saying. We should get one started because you know
we can start a new one by the end of the week. Yeah.
I like that.
If people are in. Didn't you, did you win ours last time?
No, I don't think I did. I think, wasn't there like an eight-way tie? Didn't we all like break it up?
Oh, that's it. Nobody
and
won because everybody lost.
And I
lost.
Told you put the money, and I said put the money in something else.
That was the football survivor in which 12 people tied. Everyone got eliminated the same.
Yeah. Our survivor pool's not. they put the brakes on quick. It's tough. Yeah, it's tough to win those bad boys. They end pretty early. But I'm thinking season's here. Let's do it.
Remember, I won $5,000 a couple of years ago in a survivor pool, but last year, dude, I got bounced in like week two or week three. It was pretty frustrating. It was really angry.
$5,000 is pretty good, though.
I don't know if you recall, last year, basically, pretty much everybody got eliminated right away, like including you. All of us did, right? Everyone got eliminated in week two or week three, and it was so early. It was like, all right, let's start another one. Let's start a new one. And I got eliminated in the first damn week of the new one, Cam. I was like, yeah, this isn't meant to be this year.
Yeah, those baseball elimination pools, they're harder than they look. They sound real easy, but they're not.
Baseball's so rad. All right, yeah,
You know, because soon the hockey playoffs are going to dwindle down and the basketball, soon it's going to be a lot more condensed. It's going to be all baseball. We need a little extra momentum as the dog days of summer progress.
All right, so we've got the Capitals and the Canes tonight. I was on the Washington Capitals on Saturday. It was one of my few wins over the weekend. So we kept cash ticket with the Caps. I think the Canes are a tough team to deal with on home ice, Cam. I think the Canes are going to be a load tonight. Tough game, real toss-up, but I got a small play, and I really did. I got smaller units today because we took a beating the last couple of nights, and I like the board tomorrow night, so I'm sort of chipping away here, hoping for the best, and then we'll try to get back on track tomorrow. But I got a small play on the Carolina Hurricanes here.
Tough game. I don't really know what to go. My initial lean was to say Washington, just because they showed the way they can play the last game. Carolina's been great. They do have Shestnikov coming back. That's going to help them out big time. Mrazek has been on fire earlier in the season. He kind of came down to earth. But Washington really, really played well. Very tough game. I have a lean to the Capitals game, but I'm not going to be betting a lot on this game. It's what you said. This game could go either way. Dallas is going to be my hockey play tonight, but I'm not even 100% sure there, too. I feel the exact same way as you. I was on the Leafs on the
tonight.
Weekend, yeah. Too, and yeah, who knows? Like, I've been on fire with this hockey. Like, it's been one of the best runs I've ever been on, but I don't feel confident about these games anymore. The games used to come to me. Now they're not coming to me anymore. It means, you know, I might have to just lower the units and hope for the best.
Yeah, my life would be better right now if the Leafs would have won yesterday.
Yes, yes. It would have been a lot better for all of us. Oh, I know. I went harder on that game, too, with fandom. And
I thought they were going to close it out.
Yeah, so did I. I was very confident. I had a really nice week, as you mentioned. I felt good going into the weekend. I go, let's put more on this game. You know, let's really push all my chips in and there. And every time I do that, something bad seems to happen. Lesson learned. The Leafs continually disappoint me when I need them to do something. But they'll show up game 7. It's weird. They almost play better on the road. They try not to do dumb things. At home, they try to be too flashy. It doesn't work.
Yeah, they seem to be more disciplined on the road. There's no disputing that. We got Jeremy Rona coming on the morning show tomorrow.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice.
Talk That's these great. Game 7. So, yeah, the lines right now, the Carolina Hurricanes are minus 125. The Washington Capitals are plus 105. I got a small play on the under 5.5 as well, Cam. I think it'll be a lower scoring game. This evening, tight checking, lower scoring game, and then Nashville plus 120. And you know what, money's coming in on Dallas because I played Nashville earlier in the day over at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I'm looking at the number right now. I've got plus 115 on my ticket, and it's plus 120 right now, so they must be fading me, Cam.
I don't know about that. I think people just know what Dallas did on home ice, buddy, and they absolutely kicked their ass the last time they played. And I'll tell you something about Dallas. Nashville's a team. They're very, very fast and skilled. But when I look it up and down the lineup, I'm not afraid of anything Nashville does. Dallas has big, mean players that can suffocate a smaller team. Like Nashville, they're having problems with Faxa and Hintz and all these underrated players that Dallas has. Bishop can be trusted. Heiskanen's a very good young defenseman. Like, all the parts. Dickinson, like, Dallas has all these role players that, like, thrive on, like, beating you down. And all their stars, Radulov, Ben, and Sagan, have been good in the series. The Dallas Stars are scary because they can play all types of hockey. They're also very good in the faceoff. Jason Spezza is an older player, but he does all the little things well back in the lineup. He was a healthy scratch earlier. He knows he's going to have to play well to stay in this lineup because Dallas is deep. And I'll just tell you, hey, Nashville has the talent, but their first line hasn't shown up. Where's Johansson and these guys? Arvidsson, he's supposed to be one of the better players in the league. Guy's been a ghost. If Nashville's players show up, their stars, they'll win the game, but they haven't so far, so I'm with Dallas.
They're too inconsistent, the Nashville Predators, on a game-by-game basis.
They're like the Leafs.
Yeah, they are. It's a good comparison. They're very, very similar to the Leafs. They just don't dig down deep enough. I hate to say it, like, the Dallas wants it more, but Dallas is just digging deeper. You can just see they're just quicker to the puck. They're digging deeper. And, you know, listen, Dallas deserves credit. And I actually thought, Cam, and I said, you know, I like Nashville to go to the Cup, but it wouldn't surprise me if they lost in the first round and Dallas goes.
Exactly.
I think Dallas could go on a little bit of a run here, actually. But Colorado looked good, too, Cam. Colorado looked good, too.
Yeah, you're right, Gabe. We can't bet on everybody, but I'm telling you, those crazy plays that I made in Vegas, my plays were Columbus, Dallas and St. Louis is my crazy plays. I know.
You're alive in all three.
I know. It's been one of those crazy hockey things. Like, it's almost like I'm just taking teams. I have a very simple theory for hockey. Teams with good goaltending and teams that can shut you down defensively. And I really like the Blues because they have a two-style defense. Guys like Vince Dunn can play offense, but Colton Parayko, those guys are like pythons, and they'll kill you in front of the net. And Binnington, as you mentioned, being a goaltender, he's not afraid of anything. Like, that's the thing about hockey compared to basketball. Who's going to stop Golden State? Maybe Houston. In hockey, I can make a case for, you're right, Gabe, you can make a case for Colorado, Dallas, Blues, hell, the Islanders. Would it surprise you if they went another round with Leonard playing like this? Crazy things are happening in hockey right now, man. Just, it's who wants it more. You said it. Who's going to dig deep?
Updated hockey futures right now. The St. Louis Blues and Washington Capitals are now the favorites.
Are you kidding
me? Yeah, the Blues are 6-1.
6-1.
Yeah, oh, what do you got?
12-1.
Yeah,
that's
they're 6-1, right?
There, I got no, no, 10-1 in the West. 10-1 in the
Washington,
West. Washington Blues.
All right, so yeah, they're 6-1 to win the Cup. Washington to win the West right now. St. Louis Blues are +290.
Wow, that is low.
Colorado Avalanche are +380.
Yep.
Dallas Stars +430. It's not bad, actually.
That's worth a look.
It's only a couple of more series. Like, you know what I mean? +430. Vegas +430. San Jose Sharks, who are left for dead, Cam, a couple of nights ago, +500. The Nashville Predators are 10-1 right now to win the Western Conference.
Very interesting.
In the East, Washington Capitals +270. Columbus Blue Jackets +320. Islanders. Yeah.
Gabe, they were 35-40-1 for the Cup before, 16-18 in conference play.
What do you
it's
have
about
35-1 to win the Cup?
Yeah. 35-1 and 40-1. Twice.
To win the Cup right now, Columbus are +650.
Wow.
Insane. It's too low.
I might be calling out Harry Hedge. We got some trimming to do. I just need another round there because I start doing some math. I don't know if they're going to win the Cup, but God, man, those odds are horrible. You can't take Columbus.
Yeah,
that
they're
price.
Bad odds. I don't advocate that.
Yeah, like
the Blues
have
never won a Stanley Cup before. They're 6-1.
Put the brakes on people. I'll tell you something. Out of those teams, you look at Vegas or San Jose. I'd be scared of both of those teams, man.
Let me compare it to offshore.
Scares me.
Let me compare it to offshore.
Yeah, let's go take a look.
See if they're the same numbers here. All right, went outright. Wow, they got even lower up. Washington Capitals are +550.
No.
The Blues are +650 to win the Cup.
Come on. It's not
Columbus.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Yeah, nice call. I've had this song stuck in my head all weekend, actually. All right, let's do this. The morning after continues. We appreciate your patience. If you're on hold, we'll get back to the phone lines. We've had a spirited show so far, talking about the NFL draft, and of course, social issues need to arise. But let's talk some Philadelphia 76er basketball. We were talking about how crazy this series has been, probably the most entertaining one. Keith Pompey joins us. Philly Inquirer joins us this morning. Keith, good morning, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
So I was reading your column, and man, you're bang on because Joel Embiid's getting pretty good at getting people kicked out of games. And, it's to the point where I guess, other teams, you're just going to have to sort of stay composed when he does this. But he's 3-for-3 now in this. It's been a very, very emotional series. I'm going to be honest. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like this starting crap and backing off all the time after the fact. But hey, it seems to be working for him right now. At least it's working against Brooklyn.
Yeah, it is working. But he also has to be careful because, he has, two flagrant foul points, for getting two flagrant foul ones. So if he, gets a couple more, he could be, suspended. So, it's one of those things where, teams are going at him. He's going at teams. They're reacting. They're getting ejected. But if he gets ejected, that's going to be a huge loss for the Sixers.
What kind of growth?
He has to be careful.
What kind of growth has there been? Because, you know, look, in game one, they were booing, and the player said, hey, you can't boo after every missed shot. Philadelphia always seems so fragile to me from afar, Keith, in which if everything's coming together for them, they could be really, really good. But it seems like they drift quickly. There's always the question marks. Is the coach the right guy for the job? But when things are going well for them, they're a tough team to deal with. It really is amazing, like, how good they can be and how close they are to danger as well at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we won't really know anything until the second round, you know, because let's be honest. I mean, they're the third seed. The Sixers are a good team. You know, they're supposed to beat the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, they are. And, you know, but when they go to the second round, that's when everything is going to get real. That's when we're going to find out, you know, if Brett Brown is actually the guy for this job. You know, we're going to find out how guys do, you know, when the going gets rough, because it's going to be magnified. You know, we're going to find out more about Ben Simmons, if he improved. We're going to find out if Jimmy Butler, you know, if he's the leader of this team, and if J.J. Redick and Tobias Harris can, you know, withstand the pressure that they're going to get. So, you know, right now, you pose a great question, but we won't know anything until, you know, they play the Toronto Raptors in the second round.
Yeah, I got to ask you, you know, Keith, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and I was thinking that, you know, Joel Embiid is becoming the face of the Philadelphia Sixers, and it just seems to me like him, of all people, really could use a veteran presence on the team, somebody to kind of help him navigate through this maturation process right now. Because, I mean, it's nice when he goes up there and tells us that, you know, Dudley's a fool, he's this, he's that, but, you know, long term, really, as the face of an organization, probably not the best way to handle it moving forward.
Well, you know what, and you can say that, but you can't. But here's the thing about Joel Embiid. I remember when Allen Iverson was a rookie, when he was a second year player. And I remember how there was Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan, who basically said, you know what, look how he dresses. You know, this guy is different. He's kind of like, they didn't come out and say he's destroying the game, but they wanted him to act more professional. And he was like, hey, I'm a young guy. I'm going to be who I am. And then next thing you know, years later, all the guys that came in the league were tatted up. They had the pants sack. They had the braids. You know what I mean? And so I'm saying this to say, like, you know, a lot of people say, you know, you look at this guy, he's different, he's going about it, he's breaking all the rules, right? But then after a while, it's like you just have to accept it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I get what they're saying, a veteran presence, this and that. But it's one of those things when he's on the court, he backs up his words. Now, the only thing that people can say about him that's true is like, hey, but, you know, you've been injury prone. But when he's out there on the court, he backs up his words, you know. So, you know, as far as a veteran presence helping him out with that, I think he'll be just fine.
A player that I thought saved the Sixers on Saturday, and a guy that maybe it's not in a box score, but a guy just seems to me, and I had money on Brooklyn, Keith, all right? Of course, legally at FanDuel Sportsbook in New Jersey, but is Mike Scott. Big ass three hit, man. Like, he's been very timely with just making plays in this series.
You're exactly right. You know, as much as we want to talk about Tobias Harris, we want to talk about JJ, you know, we want to talk about the Sixers starting lineup. You know, Mike Scott has to play well for the 76ers to win, you know, win a playoff series and basically win games. His first game that they played, game one, you know, the Sixers lost. Mike Scott was 1 for 8 on threes. You know, after that, he's been playing well. And again, you know, because let's face it, they do have a great bench. But, a great starting lineup. It's the benches where they struggle. So guys like Mike Scott, James Ennis, and Boban, they really have to produce. And Mike Scott has been carrying his weight since game one.
How do you think this goes down tomorrow? Philadelphia closes out. Brooklyn, Brooklyn's giving it her all. They're just like, it seems to me they're a power forward away. They just, you know, they're getting beat up on the blocks here. But it's nice to see this birth of Brooklyn basketball right now. Another team to be rivals with in a division, and they can start to get some things going. But this Brooklyn Philly, it's been a fun series. But do you think it comes to an end tomorrow night?
I do. I think it comes to an end. I think, you know, Brooklyn losing game four was really a dagger, you know, for the Nets. I do believe it is a fun series. I mean, the thing about Brooklyn that I will say is, you know, the Brooklyn is kind of like the Sixers' little brother. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of people are telling them how big and bad they are. But the little brother's like, look, dude, I shared a bedroom with you. I know you're not that tough, and I'm going to try. and that's what they do.
Yeah.
The problem is you can't beat your brother over a long period of time. Now, you may sucker punch him and daze him once, but, you know, at this particular time, you're just not strong enough to beat him in a sustained fist fight. And I think that's just what it is. But, you know, if I'm Brooklyn, I'm looking at this series and I'm saying, I need another presence, and you know, a big presence. I need some guys with girth, and then we'll be able to contend with the Sixers in due time because they have some young, talented pieces.
No, they really do.
It's interesting, Keith, too. I know a lot of people are saying, listen, you've already proven that you can beat Brooklyn without Joel on the court. Is there any possibility you think of maybe Joel sitting out, kind of resting up here this next game, they can close it out and then give him a little extra rest?
You know, it's funny. You know, Brett Brown was asked about that actually before game four. And, you know, he was like, nah, we're not going to do that. You know, I understand it. It's great. But, you know, we're not going to sleep on anyone or sleep on Brooklyn. And they're also looking at it like, you know what, if they go out here and if Embiid's able to play and he plays, and if they go out there and win, you know, they'll be off on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, possibly even Saturday and Sunday. So it's one of those things where they can be able to rest them then, as opposed to basically saying, uh-oh, we're going to need you for a game six. And then if that goes wrong, we're definitely going to need you for seven. So I think that is one of those things where they're in the mindset, like, if you're able to play, you're going to play because, you know, we really want to rest for a few days afterwards.
Hey, Keith, before we get you out of here, Keith Pompey, Philly Inquirer with us. One thing I think we're really lucky that didn't happen on Saturday was another Malice at the Palace situation. Man, that was real close to the fans. And fortunately, you're close to sort of the richer fans there. It might have more patience than some fans would have in a situation like that. But it was real close to the crowd, man. And all it takes is one or two fans getting involved, and then all hell breaks loose, Keith. We're lucky it didn't get to that on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, you're right. And again, it was funny because, like you said, they were closer to some of the richer fans.
Exactly.
Like, they got out there before, you know, they were gone. It was like,
I noticed that the seats were empty. I was like, yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? It was one of those things where I was like, hey, man, those seats were full a second ago. Like when they were like clear. You know what I mean? I was like, whoa, you know what I mean? But
when you're from Brooklyn, Keith, you get good at knowing when stuff's about to hit the fan.
Exactly. But, you know, it was one of those things. I mean, they kind of avoided something. And I also think that's why, you know, they had to give out the fines. They had to do all the things they had to. You know, I'm surprised, like, you know, one could argue like, hey, maybe they could have suspended a guy a game because of that, you know, because it spilled over into the crowd. But
exactly,
you know, like you said, those fans got out of there quick, fast, and early.
Hey, Keith, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us this morning, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas. Enjoy the rest of the
day. Yeah, let's do it again. I'm a Raptor fan, so that's things. It's going to get real next week, man.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot to talk about, too.
Hey, we'll definitely do it again. Thanks for the time, bro.
All right, thank you. Bye.
There's Keith Pompey with his Philly Inquirer. Yeah, Joe, I'm telling you, it was basically in the stands, but it's true. It's, you know, and it's Brooklyn. It ain't cheap to sit there, right? So it's basically like, those are like $1,000, $1,500 seats,
oh, yeah.
Joe.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the best move was
chicks.
The dad with the toddler. Did you see the dad holding the little kid on his lap who took off hard left, man, picked up the kid and ran. It was a great move, man. He wasn't hanging around waiting to see who else came in there.
Aren't you getting back home to the wife? How was the game? Oh, it was awful. We nearly got killed by a bunch of 7 feet dudes.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Radio Network countdown to the National Football League draft is on, and there's a lot of smoke screens out there right now. Very smoky in the room, Cam. It's like an old school pool hall. Yeah, you got to you gotta blow. Yeah, you got to wave the smoke as you walk. You walk through. It's a lot of smoke out there right now, and this is a team that we didn't talk about as far as Josh Rosen is concerned, and I'm seeing now that there's a little bit of talk about this, that the Cincinnati Bengals could be in play for Josh Rosen, which would make sense as well.
I hope so. I hope they're in play because, you know, Andy Dalton and that era is gone. We had Driscoll come in last year. He's more of a serviceable backup. He's not a true starter. So, yes, you would hope that Cincinnati, they need a whole new facelift, Gabe. They need to change
a lot of things.
Yeah, they do. The Bengals are it's kind of like a car, like my car. They don't need just an oil change. They need a new radiator. You know, they got a leak here. Like, there's a lot of things going on. There's 5 to 6 problems or more with them. So you'd hope they do that. Hey, breaking news, too. We have a John Bobbitt situation in Toronto. A woman cuts off a man's penis and then jumped from a 7th-story building. This is going to be going on right now, according to different reports. This woman cut off a man's penis and is on the run, and this man is reportedly in life-threatening condition at Sunnybrook Hospital.
But I talked about this earlier in the day, Cam, and well, she jumped off the balcony after.
Yeah, crazy, eh?
Yeah, so she jumped off the balcony. I think it was like 7 floors, too.
Yeah, 7 floors.
Pretty hard
floor. 7-floor balcony? That's what I'm saying. Like, usually they don't make that jump here, so... Wow. Yeah. I hope they get to update the story a little bit more. Craziness.
Well, she's in the hospital. I guess they're both in the hospital at this point.
That would make sense.
I don't know. I mean, she must be pretty messed up from jumping off a 7-floor balcony.
You'd think.
Not as messed up as the dude. Yeah, the guy was running around the apartment complex after asking, screaming for help. He was naked. I'm just wondering, like, did she take the penis with her when she jumped off the balcony?
Excellent.
Like, did she throw it off the balcony?
That's why you're a great investigative reporter. Like, I need to know. Yeah,
where's the penis?
Remember,
where's the penis?
Yeah, the penis is probably loose in a bush. Like, you're not going to get it back.
That's what I'm saying. So she cut it off and jumped off a balcony. Did she throw it off the balcony? Did she take it with her?
He needs to know and get that penis on ice post that to save it. Because if it's sitting there in the sun all day, it's over. Right?
I wonder what he did to piss her off that much.
But honestly, you do that to a guy, that's so bad. Like, anything but that, you know, you'd rather be stabbed anywhere rather than
I imagine it's attempted murder. I mean, you cut someone's junk off.
Yeah, I think so. I would definitely. And for not telling him where it is, there's only a window of time to get that thing back to, like, sew it back on, right? Like, it just can't be lingering in, like, in a parking lot or in a bush. These are the things we're thinking about, Gabe. You're right.
I never really...
Where is the rest of it? Where is it?
Yeah, and I don't really even realize you realize the pun there, Cam, in which we're talking about a penis, and you're saying, where is it? Stuck in the bush?
Bush? It could be anywhere. The bush, the parking garage... Who knows?
I have a feeling that's why it got cut off, because he stuck it in a bush.
In the bush.
In a forest he shouldn't have.
That's true. Shouldn't have gone in that forest. Creepy.
Oh, dude, Toronto's a crazy place, man. There's always something crazy.
I told you, you're happy you're there. It's safer now. You're safer.